Hello and welcome to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree. Today we're going to be talking about hope. Lord of the Rings definitely is a book that gives me a lot of hope, which, yeah, I need for this new year. So we should have a fair amount of material to work with here.
I just wanted to note that this is a Tolkien podcast, Lord of the Rings podcast. We're actually recording on J.R.R. Tolkien's birthday. Happy birthday, Professor. Thank you for being amazing.
We could like plan to do something for this podcast. It's actually recording Tolkien's birthday related.
I feel like Tolkien would appreciate us doing one on hope, though.
We're saving it for like the days that happen during the course of the book, like the destroying of the One Ring, etc. We'll do book holidays.
Gondori New Year, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we're all looking for a little hope going into the new year, considering that last year was nobody's favorite year. Even if good things happened, I don't think anybody's favorite year is 2020. And I was telling somebody the other day, I surely hope that in years to come, this will be the year that my kids and grandkids ask me about, that there's really not another year to compare to it. And that we're starting to turn the corner. So this podcast is kind of for, I mean, the one that we're doing today is kind of for people that maybe are looking for hope and also saying, hey, when things are tough and life is really not what I want it to be, what are some lessons, some insights, some scenes from the Lord of the Rings that can give me hope? So since I'm talking, I guess I'll start off. The thing that struck me recently, I was listening to The Two Towers, and there are a lot of times that Tolkien gives you that glimpse of hope. And it's interesting, of course, because he has some strong influence from the Viking myths, where in the Viking myths, the good gods lose at the end of time to the bad gods. And so he's got this good understanding of how people can be virtuous and courageous, even if ultimately defeat is ahead of them. And that shows up quite a few times, I think, in the Frodo and Sam narrative as they near Mount Doom, because really for most of the time, Frodo doesn't really think there's much of a chance that they're actually going to pull this off. And Sam kind of keeps up a positive spirit about it while, you know, coming to realization periodically that it's pretty unlikely this is actually going to be something we pull off. And so one part that really stood out to me was at the end of Journey to the Crossroads, where they encounter this sitting figure of a king, and the head has been knocked off of it by this statue. It's been knocked off of it, and in its place is set a mockery, a round rough hewn stone rudely painted by savage hands in the likeness of a grinning face with one large red eye in the midst of his forehead. Idle scrawls mixed with foul symbols that the maggot folk of Mordor used. And just the symbol of how awful and terrible things are, and that these people are the ones who are most powerful and most likely going to win the day. And then suddenly, caught by the level beams, Frodo saw the old king's head. It was lying rolled away by the roadside. "Look, Sam," he cried, startled into speech. "Look, the king has got a crown again." The eyes were hollow and the carven beard was broken, but about the high stern forehead there was a coronal of silver and gold. A trailing plant with flowers like small white stars had bound itself across the brows as if in reverence for the fallen king, and the crevices of his stony hair, yellow stone crop, gleamed. "They cannot conquer forever," said Frodo. And then suddenly the brief glimpse was gone, the sun dipped and vanished, and as if at the shuddering of a lamp, black night fell. And I think that passage really kind of illustrates the realistic portrayal of hope that Tolkien gives you. That, you know, there's this image, this glimpse that Frodo, who's really not feeling great about this whole experience and not positive, he says they cannot conquer forever. Even if we lose, even if we're defeated, ultimately Sauron is not going to be the winner. And man, that relates pretty well to our faith, I think, that we know that, hey, ultimately, Jesus has won the victory. And so even the small losses that we sustain are not ultimately going to be the end of the story. And it reminds me of Sam looking down up from the pit in Mordor and seeing the star shining, about the hope that that gives him too.
Which, so that was, I feel like that's one of the ones that was done very well in the movie. I really love that very, very brief scene there that we get in Mordor, and a very pretty view of the sky, which is not, you know, something that you expected to get out of Mordor. It's something pretty. As cool as the original.
That was in the original, right? That wasn't just for the, or was that just for the extended?
I can't quite remember. I want to say that was extended.
That was extended, but actually, I have one argument to make there, because they gave Frodo's line to Sam, which unfortunately, it feels like in the movie, Frodo got removed some of his more hopeful or courageous lines, and it always kind of bothered me.
Are you talking about the king one, right? Not the one where the king has a crown again.
Yeah, the king has a crown again. Yeah,
Sam's no, the was just talking about the one in the star in Mordor.
Oh, yeah, that one was good. I was meaning the king has a crown again. The star.
I thought Elizabeth was talking about the king too. Yeah, yeah. The star.
The star was in the original. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. She looks mad at me.
No, I'm just confused.
Well, we were a little confused. We were talking about two different scenes. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I tagged on. That was my fault, I guess. But the star was in the original movie film, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it? I thought it was extended.
I thought both were extended.
I thought it was extended too.
It all runs together.
All right. Well, in not extended things, I wanted to talk about movie parts that are hopeful. And while obviously things go downhill again, but the arrival of the Riders of Rohirrim in Return of the King is pretty epic looking, also with the exceptional amount of actual riders, as well as their fancy programs to make giant crowds. Very, very cool imagery there with the sun rising. Also, I mean, that is also an aspect of hope, and something that comes up a fair amount in Lord of the Rings is that sometimes your hope, you get something, and then it gets bad again, and then you still have to keep hoping for more things after that. Good things can come in waves, which is also something that we learned, I feel, in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, now I'll praise the movie that I actually do like that better in the movie than the book. I mean, maybe battles are harder for me to grasp on the page.
Yes.
I love books, but battles are one of those things that I do like visuals
I think better. It's true, that was my favorite scene in the trilogy, but I do kind of a where Theoden blows his horn and it blows up because he blows it so hard. Exactly. I'm like, that rocks.
Yeah, what was that in the movie?
Also, okay, like Mary's little internal monologue there is very much my internal monologue sometimes, where he's like, he sees the whole city and he's like, it's on fire. Everything's bad. He's like, he looks at Théoden, and Théoden kind of, bows his head. He's like, maybe he's just going to turn around and be like, well, it's too late. You know, it's too late. We're not going to help out. But he's like, nope. And then he grabs the horn and blows it up and is like, death. And I just bought a necklace with that on it. Oh,
death.
Well, no, you know, it says like for Rohan. But anyway, Weedon was having a giant sale, guys. So I highly recommend. And they don't have COVID there, so, you know, you have to wipe off the inside of the packages, right?
We get to advertise for Rita. That sounds good.
Yeah. Not sponsored. I wish.
If but, you'd like to sponsor us, just give us a call.
Heck yes. Absolutely. Heck yes. No, but yeah, that's one of my favorites. Movie and book.
That's a great choice for hope, and I'm also 100% with Nadia. Like, the scene was exceptionally realized in the movie, but you gotta have Théoden blow that horn and bust it with how hard he blows, because that is amazing. Can't believe they missed out on that one.
I'm getting mixed messages on whether that scene was extended in Return of the King, guys, but we'll have to save that for the next podcast.
Obviously, someone is going to have to watch the movie.
I know the King scene was extended because that was not in there. And then when I saw it, I was sort of disappointed because I wanted to be Frodo, but that wasn't how they were playing Frodo. So.
Speaking of scenes that were even better extended, I know that relates to Sonora's chapter.
I was going to say. We're Hiram and the scene that shouldn't be extended. I mean, the one I always think about this year, especially for 2020, that helped me personally, was the scene from The Steward and the King with Faramir and Eowyn, which is also one of my favorite chapters, but I had to give it up for the other podcast we had. But the one scene in particular I'm going to read is between Eowyn and Faramir, as, you know, after the Houses of Healing and observing the Black Gates, when Eowyn says, "Then do you think that the darkness is coming?" said Eowyn. "Darkness unescapable?" And suddenly she drew close to him. "No," said Faramir, looking into her face. "It was but a picture in the mind. I do not know what is happening. The reason of my waking mind tells me that the great evil has befallen and we stand at the end of our days. But my heart says nay, and all my limbs are light, and a hope and joy are come to me that no reason can deny. Eowyn, Eowyn, White Lady of Rohan, in this hour I do not believe that any darkness will endure." And that's one that I especially like this year, because there's a lot of times people are like, oh, everything's going wrong. But I love Faramir's perspective, especially the line, "I don't believe any darkness will endure," because it makes me feel comforting where I'm like, I know things are going to get better.
And Faramir's been through a lot of that.
And Faramir's been through so much. I mean, his dad didn't like him. His brother died. And yet he's still managing to be hopeful through the entire thing. So I wish they gave him a little more to say towards that in the scene in the movie. But it was nice in the book.
The one was Eowyn wakes up and talks to Aragorn, has some parts from that in Return of the King, that scene. They like to lift Eowyn's stuff from interesting parts and give it to weird people in the movies. I still kind of feel iffy about Wormtongue saying the stuff that's kind of internally in her mind that's in Houses of Healing. But you know, it's legit.
Faramir definitely is a paragon of hope, I feel like. He is constantly holding on to hope, even though he has no reason to, even though, you know, his father has given him every reason to kind of despair.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about Hope from Lord of the Rings in 2020. How many people did you see on social media put up the picture of Frodo saying it's done from the movie?
Once the clock ticked over
to 12:01.
But that I actually didn't see that one, but we were discussing that how many times we have seen both the Frodo's I wish none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
I wish this hadn't come to me, and Gandalf's speech in response. I've seen that on social media so much. And also Sam's speech was the other one that I see shared constantly.
Those are both great.
Oh my gosh, one of our friends got Sean Austin to do that speech for them. They had like a cameo. I was very jealous, guys. It was great. I remember I think I was reading his autobiography, or like his like book about making the movie, and how he got that speech not long, you know, it was after they were done filming, so he was working stuff at home, and it was like not all that long after the whole September 11th happened. And I was like, yes, another kind of like life-changing event for everyone, that the tragedy that happened was applicable to you. Just gotta think about some of those when very unfortunate things happen in real life, and kind of points us back to some of those ways we can still be hopeful, and you know, hope that, better things are around the corner, and that we can still be there to help each other out and still be there for each other.
Of course, always good to, I think, remind people that Sam's speech is great in the movie. It's really good, and there's a lot of it that Fran in the movie that she got from Sam's speech at towards the end of The Stairs of Cirith Ungol. So he talks a lot about stories and what kind of stories they're in. He talks about how sometimes it doesn't really seem like a great story to the people who are in it, and it doesn't even end the way that they want it to, but it still turns out to be something that inspires people and gives them hope. Mm-hmm. And of course, Nadia, she's reading the Silmarillion and getting to the passages about Beren and Luthien, and he talks about that and how the story of Beren and Luthien is actually continuing in the story that they have, because Frodo's got some of the light from the Silmaril in his glass from Galadriel. So anyway, that's a beautiful passage, and they did a great job kind of bringing it into the movie. And but it's always worth reading in the book too.
Yeah, I somewhat forgive her because I really hate when they talk about stories later in the Two Towers, because that scene didn't work out too well. But she stuck a lot of the good stuff earlier in the movie, so, you know.
Let me do my weekly plug for the radio program, because that did the Stairs of Cir Thungal scene really well, so that was nice. Also, if you ever happen to find the soundtrack to the Lord of the Rings musical, there's a very good song about that subject. I recommend. I don't know how the music. I never got to see the musical live, but there are some good songs in it. So yeah, I have fun with that.
Yeah, one of the main returning themes to expand on that. One of the main returning themes in the Lord of the Rings musical. Again, highly recommended for those of you listening who haven't encountered it. You'll probably love it. Yes. Is called the Song of Hope, and it comes back multiple times throughout the play. And since we're discussing it here in this podcast, I don't think it should be surprising that that's the name of the song that comes back repeatedly throughout the musical.
Oh, so I was looking at a book passage on hope, and I was actually looking at The Last Debate, because Gandalf talks multiple times about, yeah, we have hope. It's very narrow, and it's probably not going to be for us, because we're like, we're just going to go to the Gates of Mordor and march up, and yeah, we're going to lose unless the Ring Bearer, I don't think he even says unless the Ring Bearer just happens to put in the ring at the time that we're there. But he's like, we're a distraction, but we're giving hope to the main quest. Yeah. He says, I do not counsel prudence. I say victory could not be achieved by arms. I still hope for victory, but not by arms. So yeah, he has hope, but he's like, this hope, they may have to look beyond just hope for themselves, hope for other people. It's very unselfish.
It's nice to focus on other people, not just yourself.
Yeah,
I was reading it. So, okay, sorry, Denny. We'll come back to that. What were you saying, Quincy?
Sorry, I was just saying in the movie, Pippin asks Gandalf about hope, and he says, there never was much hope, only a fool's hope. And I think that kind of brought in that passage a little bit into there. And really, I mean, Gandalf's whole plan there reminds me so much of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 talking about God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things of the world to confound the strong. I mean, that's 100% Gandalf's philosophy. He's like, what's the most, you know, the most unlikely way of approaching this problem is the one that Sauron isn't going to expect, and it's the one that will defeat him, and that's what wins the day, and that's where he finds hope.
Yeah. Actually, okay, if we're talking movie original things, he has, I don't know if it directly says hope, but there's a nice movie original Gandalf speech in The Hobbit between him and Galadriel about like the small deeds of everyday people. I'm like, I like that addition. It was kind of a nice insight.
Yeah, no, a lot of the times I think they're able to boil down a lot. I think you can tell that they, you know, have definitely read and loved the books and got a lot of the nice messages out of there, which I think is why people like the movies a lot too. A lot of fans as well.
So to continue just kind of talking about Tolkien and hope in general, another bit of media that we haven't talked about on this podcast, because it also apparently is controversial depending, is the movie Tolkien about Tolkien's life. But that watching that, I watched it again last year in the middle of the summer, and it's just, it's another great reminder that Tolkien himself saw a lot of terrible things being in a world war. And the fact that he chose to turn it into something that has plenty of darkness, but in the end it's filled with hope and is meant to be about hope, is very inspiring for all of us who are creators and are going through something stressful right now, to be like, well, hopefully we can get something positive out of it. Well, we've gotten a podcast out of it. We've gotten other things that we've created during this time, and we can sympathize with Tolkien a bit in that way.
Also, I want to talk about someone else suggested this, talk about this, but I want to take it. The eagles also are a pretty good symbol of hope. Yeah. It seems like everything's getting bagged, and then there's eagles.
That's a good call. You're always good at tying in the Hobbit, Eden. But that's also a great callback then at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And one that we love defending from people who don't understand it and call it a Deus Ex Machina. That's kind of, but it's kind of meant to be, the eagles are kind of the sign of, hey, everything's going to be all right after all, maybe.
And then for those of you who follow our Facebook page, I put up a post about the eagles. Because if you read the Silmarillion, the eagles, that's how the eagles really make sense. And that mm-hmm. the eagles are specifically described in the Silmarillion as being the emissaries of Manwë, who's like, you know, kind of like the archangel Michael. Like he's like the head angel of Earth and like the demigod of Earth. And he sends the eagles to support Gandalf and the mission that Gandalf's doing. And it's like divine intervention when the eagles show up. So, I mean, that's definitely a symbol of hope.
It's more of,
it like is a Deus Ex Machina in the very literal sense of the word.
Like, don't talk about it. It's also a symbol of like that they've not been forgotten.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times people are like, oh no, God doesn't care, people don't care. I'm like, no, they care a lot.
that's absolutely true. And they've not, that's that when they see the eagles, the people in Middle Earth say, we haven't been forgotten by Manwë. We haven't been forgotten by the Valar. That's what they're saying. We haven't been forgotten by Iluvatar. We haven't been forgotten by God. But just so you all know, the eagles are not going to do what mortals can do.
They're not taxi services.
Gandalf specifically says in the Council of Elrond, this is our problem. We've got to deal with it. The Valar aren't going to do it for us. He tells you the eagles aren't going to do it.
Yeah, this is why Daddy complains about the Council of Elrond being shortened in the movie.
Yeah, they could have given some explanation.
That's kind of important.
That's true. Everybody just sit down and listen to the plot exposition for a little while, and then we can go on with the movie.
Gandalf is going to do a flowchart for you about why we can't use the eagles.
It's plot exposition. It has to go somewhere.
I suddenly just saw like Gandalf with like a whiteboard.
Yeah.
With all the reasons written on it.
Yes. I feel like, oh, I'm probably has one there in Rivendell. So it's good for all kinds of stuff, you know?
Elrond uses it on Arwen a lot.
Why getting together with the mortals? A bad
Why
idea.
Why is this a bad idea?
The bit one. Baron and Lucien.
So technically, it never says in the book that he said that to her. I don't know. I mean, Maybe let's criticize the movie. I'm like, I don't know that he ever was like, hey, don't make this choice, my daughter. He's more like, Aragorn, if she's making this choice, this is what I want you to do.
That's yeah, that is an interesting distinction that I don't think they always bring out. Yeah, I don't know that he's like telling her how to live her life like that. The movie Elrond got kind of pushy about that. I think he's definitely very sad, but I'm like, you kind of would be, for sure.
So what kind of conclusions can we draw out of lessons of hope from Lord of the Rings for the year ahead?
Take hope in whatever in small things you can find. And just, you know, if you have to appreciate those moments where you're just feeling hopeful when you're appreciating everything around you. There was a day early in November, and you can draw your own conclusions about why early in November I needed hope, but I was outside and it was just really pretty. I was walking outside and I'm like, you know what? I just feel like the world is a pretty good place. I feel like there's still a lot to enjoy here. So, I mean, I try to appreciate that. I mean, I was not having a good last few days, but I also remember I've had a fair amount of days where I'm like, this is like, there's still a lot of stuff I enjoy and appreciate.
I also kind of go off as like perspective is everything. Like, I was thinking about Sam with the king, where it's like, oh, the head's been taken off, but he sees the crown of flowers on instead of thinking, oh, he's been beheaded. I mean, he sees the more positive side of things, which is also what Faramir does, is sees more positive side of things, which is something you can take into 2021, even when things look bad. Look for the good things, whether it be small or big.
I think, you know, like, not giving up to, yeah, I also take a page out of Rohan's book and be like, well, things are awful. Well, we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
I'm allergic to giving up most of the time. So, you know, and that definitely comes, you know, from, you know, yeah, knowing that you're not abandoned by God or by other people. Well, I think that that really, that, yeah, even if things look bad, like, I'm going to be out there to help them. They'll be out there to help me. I feel like you're not alone. Even if you're in Gondor and you're burning, like, hey, your buddy is on horses, maybe out there to kick some orc behind for you. So, they're there to help you out.
I think one thing about this too is that I think we've all seen the truth of Gandalf's perspective played out, because the people that give you hope in this whole pandemic have not been the powerful people. I don't care who you are. You have not done a great job if you're a powerful person in the world or in our country. But when you go on Facebook and you see somebody who's like going out of their way to do something nice for somebody else, people who are just trying to give people a smile, people who are trying to, you know, just keep spreading hope even when things are not great, like those kind of people, the foolish and weak from the world's perspective, are the ones where real hope is found.
And New Zealand is small, but they also don't really have COVID. So, hey, we can also look to them for over.
Move to New Zealand.
We're all moving to Middle Earth, but we'll continue the podcast from there.
Am I supposed to be grabbing something from these various expressions that are being made on camera?
No.
You can edit that out later. And speaking of being on camera and Zoom, is it that I have a black eye?
No, what happened?
Is it your right eye?
Yeah, Augie gave it to me.
Already?
My youngest son, who's going to be 8 months old here, he has this bad habit of throwing himself backwards, as Micaiah, I'm sure, can tell you from small children will do sometimes. And I had him in bed. I was lifting him up. He just threw his head back and gave me a black eye. So my moral to that, and the connection here, is hobbits give you hope, but also black eyes.
Yeah. Don't underestimate the children or the
others. Don't underestimate the hobbits.
But hey, if anybody has any other moments of hope that we've forgotten or that you like, you can let us know on our Facebook page or on our Twitter page. On Twitter, we are at 7 7 stars 7 siblings. So 7 stars 7 siblings. And if you get this podcast on any of your favorite podcast networks, leave us a review, because that helps. So that's me and my producer duty.
How does it help us? Does it get us?
Especially like Apple, an Apple podcast, the more reviews you have, and especially 5 stars reviews, the more people can find you.
So, ooh. Nice. Maybe famous.
Don't leave us mean reviews, though.
So, hey, guys, be hopeful. There's hope. The Eagles are coming. Hang in there.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay. Hello, it's Quincy, and I'm here with our mom, Mary, and it's time for our Lord of the Rings Middle Earth Mother's Moment. So we talked a little bit about hope in this episode, and I thought about Aragorn. His mom says that they'll call him Estelle, which means hope, and it reminded me a little bit of the names that you picked for all of us. Obviously, you like some unique names, huh?
Yes, I do.
Except for Elizabeth.
Yeah, she'll never let me forget that either.
Just kind of snuck that one in there. But we all have unique names. So my question was, if you were to pick a Lord of the Rings themed name to name a child, what name would you have picked?
Actually, it was funny because I liked Sam. Sam was one of the names that I was going to name. The boys would be Sam. But actually, when you talk about Aragorn, that's a pretty cool name, too. I would like that one, too. But I think actually, Sam was actually one of the names I thought about name, but I would have been Samuel, and I was afraid they'd call you Sammy. And as you know, I don't like people to shorten names.
So, not a fan of nicknames.
No. So,
unlike Aragorn's mom, who said, "Hey, call him Estelle," then Aragorn got called Strider too. So
yeah, but I think I like Aragorn. Aragorn would probably be okay.
All right. Well, who knows? There's probably kids out there named Aragorn, but all of us escaped the Lord of the Rings name. Okay. Thank you. All right, so here we are for our trivia portion of the podcast with Dad. Hello, Dad.
Hello.
This time on the podcast, we're talking about The Lord of the Rings and Hope, you know, as the book filled with many great inspirational pictures and quotes about hope. Anything come to mind right away if you think about The Lord of the Rings and Hope?
Well, there's a pointer. I know some characters said they said things like, "Well, we shall have to do without hope," you know, and that's important. Yeah.
Right thing when there is no hope. All right. Well, the trivia question today, of course, we know that Aragorn, when he was little, his mom nicknamed him Estelle, meaning hope in Elvish, and saying that she gave hope to the world and kept no hope for herself. But my trivia question for you today, speaking of random names of Aragorn, can you tell me the name that Aragorn assumed when he went and fought with the soldiers of Minas Tirith for a little while?
Yeah, that's so close. I remember that. Yeah. You wonder if Denethor recognized him. Let's see. So he fought. It starts with an S.
I'm gonna give you a second to think about it. Interestingly, also, I thought it was interesting that he, was pretty close with Ecthelion, Denethor's father, and warned him against trusting Saruman and encouraged him to trust Gandalf. Mm-hmm. You know, Aragorn seemed like he kind of figured out that Saruman wasn't really somebody to be trusted a lot quicker than a lot of other people.
You wonder if he ran into Saruman and said, "This guy's no help at all."
Aragorn's a big fan of Gandalf, though. He's always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'd recognize the guy's his name that he used when he was fighting with Minas Tirith.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a hint. It starts with a TH.
See, now the trouble is then you come up with Thorndor, which was the eagle. So
it's close to that because the name meant something related to an eagle. I forget what the meaning was.
Oh gosh, see, I don't actually remember, even though I know it when I heard it.
That's all right, you came up with an eagle's name. Yeah. The name was Thorongil.
Yeah, Thorongil or Thorngil. Yeah, that one. He fought with them for a while, and then when it just got to where he was getting way popular, he managed to disappear, you know.
And then Eagle of the Star. Yeah, pretty cool. It's cool that you get those secret identity moments with Aragorn where he wanders off into Harad
What did he do there? Who did he hang with? What was accomplished? Did he learn? Yeah.
The Amazon series will happen at some point, I'm sure.
Thank you for listening to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast by the Wheeler family. This episode was produced by Elizabeth and Micaiah and was edited by Micaiah. Our associate producers are Quincy and Nadia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com. That's purple-planet.com. If you liked our show, please tell your friends, rate, review, and come back next time. And thank you for your support. This has been an Unwashed Bear production.
Conversation.
Where is it making connections?
We're conversing.
Where did the mic go?
It's attached to you.
No talking, only buried. Talking.
Also, Noelle, don't scream. I feel like last time you were really loud for some reason. Okay, wait. Talk normal, Noelle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
This is how far I am into it.
Anyway.
I think I got farther on my Russian novel.
Of the Return.
I think Noelle is trying to start the podcast, and we can
continue.
Quiet and allow that to happen.
Hello. Are you liking the show, but not sure when the next episode will come out? We've got good news for you. 7 Stars, 7 Siblings, and 1 White Tree, a Tolkien podcast, will be premiering every month on the 22nd.
Oh,
sorry, we can't.